Hi and welcome to the Advantages Experts podcast, where we talk to the brightest minds in business today. I'm your host, Dave Vagnone. Happy to be joined by Nick Giannoulis, the founder of the Fund Department and author of Playing It Forward. Nick, thanks for joining us. How are you?
I'm great, Dave. Thanks for having me. It's a pleasure.
We're certainly happy to have you. Nick, tell us about your company. What exactly does the Fund Department do?
It's a great question. We get that often. What the heck is the Fund Department? So we actually create opportunities for people to have fun at work around the world. That was our mission from the time we opened 11 years ago and still our mission today. And, thankfully we're fulfilling that mission through a variety of different channels. But we just know that it is good, for companies and for employees, for customers and the bottom line, and we encourage it to happen with or without our help.
All right, let's talk about that a little more. You just mentioned the bottom line. Have you guys done the research that shows that having more fun at work can really help sales?
Yeah, so it was really the idea for the Fund Department was born out of my corporate experience. Worked for a company for over 20 years with a work hard, play hard ethic. That was back before they even used the word culture back then. But this work hard, play hard ethic. And my hypothesis, my hunch, my intuition said, geez, fun is our competitive advantage, because we were in a very competitive industry and we consistently outperformed our competitors, not just locally and regionally, but nationally. And I started to research it, and back then there was not a lot of data to support it, but today there's an overwhelming amount of data to support that fun in the workplace drives bottom-line results. So it's coming from all sides, coming from, well-known sources like, Gallup, McKinsey, Harvard Business Review, a variety of sources. And some of these statistics just individually on their own are a strong argument for fun in the workplace. But what's really getting the attention, I think, of most people and companies is that the highest performing companies in any given industry are reporting that they have this, fun culture. So the best companies in the industries around the world incorporate fun as one of their core values. And that, I think, is getting a lot of attention from people all around.
Yeah, that sounds great. I'm on board with that, and yet part of me is also a skeptic, and I'll tell you why.
Sure.
Because, we have the summer picnic, a lot of companies do, the holiday party, and Nick, I've never found these things to be fun. I think they're fine, but, they don't excite me. So, besides the traditional stuff that companies do, what are some other more different, unique ways that companies and you guys can create fun for different firms out there?
Yeah, so we really have redefined what fun looks like in the workplace, and most people are very familiar with the holiday party and summer picnic. They were the staples for years. Traditionally on weekends or in the evenings, which felt more obligatory than fun. And then, of course, you had, spouse or significant other, geez, I don't want to go, who will I know, don't know what to wear, all of that stuff. And these were very expensive events. We did some research, found out for the average company, a company holiday party can be $20,000. So our whole methodology was around taking those fun but fleeting, and euphoric feelings of those two big events and spreading them out consistently through the course of the year in very small doses. So I started treating fun as a process instead of an event, and that's really the difference in what drives results. So back in my corporate experience, while we had those traditional things, we started to break those down and we started to do things, once a month, a couple times a month, these short bursts of fun during company time, compliant with culture, all-inclusive, non-threatening, things that we knew were, would work and that people were attracted to. So that really, was our model and the genesis for creating the Fund Department, and it is what we deliver today. Either we can deliver it for you, teach you how to do it, we can even ship it to you these days, but that's really our model, is this brief, consistent, and treating fun as a process so that it becomes organic in your organization. It's not that forced family fun.
So, Nick, I'm a business owner, and I come to you and say, hey, you know, we have a lunch hour that's, you know, about an hour, hour and 15 minutes. Want to do something cool for my employees in February. What do you suggest? I mean, what options, you know, you do some research, I'm sure, and talk to the company, but what options mm-hmm. might you put out there that can be accomplished within a short amount of time at a company?
Yeah, so we always try to determine what the goal is. You know, is this, you know, for recognition? Is it, you know, what are you trying to accomplish? And most of the time we get a pretty consistent answer that people are saying, geez, I want to motivate my employees. It's not much, you know, fun around here. I want to break down some barriers in between departments. And so we get some pretty consistent answers. And we introduce the concept of, you know, have you considered doing things consistently brief, you know, very brief, as opposed to an event? And the reason is because, again, the events can be, you know, this great feeling, euphoric and everything, but fleeting. People don't remember, you know, much after a few weeks. So, but we still do it. We do very non-traditional team building. Mm-hmm. Most people, when you mention that word, they roll their eyes and head for the exits. You know, they've been traumatized by some team building company over the years.
Yep.
And that was never, you know, our model or intention. So instead of doing those kind of long, what I call boring and, you know, debriefing and heavy messaging and all that stuff, you know, our model, what we suggest to people is, you know, highly engaging, all-inclusive, non-threatening, which means that everybody can participate. So some companies that have done team building, you know, they think of like ropes challenges and, you know, physical activities that automatically exclude 50% of the population.
Yeah.
So we create opportunities for people to participate at the level they're comfortable with. And the other big thing is we do a little test or diagnostic with a lot of customers where we'll find out what's fun for them.
Mm-hmm.
So as a group, as a department, as a company, we'll do a really brief survey. It can be administered over the phone. What's fun for you individually? And then we will help them determine what's fun for that group collectively. That's called the shared experience. And once we know what's fun for a group collectively, then you can design some program around it so that you're predisposed for success. It's not Nick coming in and saying, I know what's going to be fun for you. I like mm-hmm. golf, therefore you're going to like
sure.
golf. So it's really about finding out what's fun for you first and then going from there.
Yeah, non-threatening could be trivia, right? Or a chopsticks race or something that is super basic, that's simple, but people might really like.
Absolutely. And a great example, we have a customer who they determined through a shared experience, there's about 80 people in this department, and they determined that dance was something that they all mutually liked.
Hmm.
And you might say, geez, dance, I'm not doing
that.
That's,
not for me.
You know, that's, yeah, right, not for me. I said the same thing. But what they determined is that some people just like to watch. They like Dancing with the Stars, or they like, you know, or they might, you know, hold up scorecards. They like to select the music, so they participate at the level they're comfortable with. And what they decided after going through this process is that, because we help them determine what forums, you know, themes and you know, when is the fun going to happen? When is it appropriate in your company? So what they came up with is once a month they were going to do a 3 o'clock dance stop. And each employee got to pick a song. You know, every month they kind of rotated it around. It became so popular that they decided, well, let's just do it once a week instead. And now they do it every day. So 3 o'clock for 5 minutes, work stops, about 70% of the people get up and dance.
Right.
And the other 30% are, you know, laughing, cheering, holding up scorecards, you know, having a good time.
Yeah.
So we don't force anybody to do anything. That's
sure.
really important because you never want to put somebody on the spot.
Yeah, I hear you. I'd probably go to the bathroom at 3 o'clock. But that's just me. Other places are different than the way I
gotcha.
Think. Again, we're joined today by the fund department's Nick Giannoulis. Nick, let's talk about millennials, right?
Yeah.
They're everywhere now. They're here at our company. They're certainly at companies throughout our industry. And they're a lot different in the way they think mm-hmm. compared to other generations in the way they work. So what have you learned about how fun can motivate that group, millennials?
Yeah, so interesting population. And, you know, one statistic that you hear thrown around quite a bit is by in less than 10 years that the 75% of the workforce will consist of millennials. So an important population, one of the biggest we've seen. So and without too much generalization, because I hate to hate to do that, but I would tell you that some of the characteristics that are consistent with millennials were that they like recognition. So they, you know, they're kind of the, you know, there's a great book out about millennials, the trophy kids. They grew up, you know, wanting recognition. So things like annual reviews don't apply anymore. They need more constant feedback. They want to be involved, have a sense of purpose in their work. They want to know why they're working on a, you know, particular project or how they fit into the whole picture. You know, they like to be involved in the community. They like flexibility and they like fun. So, you know, fun is definitely a big driver in our business. I often get a call, you know, pretty frequently, once a week, somebody will call and say, oh my gosh, you know, I can't attract any employees to my company. This other company that is my competitor is getting all the, you know, the best and brightest. And, you know, they've got, you know, what do I do? Do I get a foosball table or something? and you know,
Xbox.
So I'm quick to say it's not about all of those things. You know, some people have that in their head that all these fun workplace environments look like a Google or, you know, Facebook or Zappos or one of those companies. You know, that's nice. That works for them. It doesn't necessarily fit for a lot of companies. We see companies very successfully integrating fun programming into their company that have a nice workplace, but they don't have to redesign the office.
Yeah.
So, you know, it really is just recognizing the way millennials work. I work with quite a few, and, you know, they're wicked smart. They, you know, are willing to work hard, just not traditional hours. And, and they do, you know, like a lot of recognition. I actually believe millennials like all the things that we all like.
Sure.
We
and
were
more.
Just never in a position to ask for it, right?
Yeah, that's
it. Was like, you know,
true.
Shut up, do your job, and, you know, don't complain. And millennials are consciously making decisions to choose culture over traditional pay and benefits. So they're the first generation that's saying, you know what, I'll sacrifice the 20% in pay to go work in a cool place that I like.
Yeah, wait until they have kids, though, and that might change a little bit. But listen, I hear you.
True.
I think that's true. Nick, I wanted to ask you about company leaders. Because,
yeah,
you know,
sure.
they tend to, not all of them, I don't want to generalize, but, you know, they tend to stay in their offices and they don't want to appear like they're having too much fun or they don't want to encourage too much fun. So,
right.
You know, within the context of what you're talking about, what can, you know, VPs and the executives do to encourage fun in a workplace without, you know, going overboard and going too far?
Yeah, so it's really essential that leadership buy-in. It's our first law of fun. Believe it or not, there's laws of fun, and I should. It sounds like an oxymoron. I might change the name of that in our book to the Universal Truths of Fun.
Yeah, there you go.
But after delivering more fun, you know, than anybody in the world, we've learned some things, and the one for sure is that leadership buy-in is essential. I also refer to it as permission to play. So if the leader says it's okay, then, you know, everything gets infinitely easier and the success rate goes up dramatically. And again, you have to break down some of these old, you know, perceptions about fun in the workplace. You know, you never embarrass a leader. You never embarrass anybody. You know, that's just not cool. But the leader should participate. They should be involved in the activity and not, you know, geez, I'm too busy for this or just entertain my minions. You know, they should embrace it. And the great leaders that I know, the enlightened leaders of the day, are not these, you know, bigger than life, gregarious kind of people. They just recognize the value, and they're willing to, you know, participate, be a part of. And where I find it most successful, if you look at these really high performing companies, fun is one of their core values. It's stated right in the, you know, the company core values. It's part of their DNA. So that, you know, again, it gives the employees the opportunity to relax and, you know, have a little fun. We also need to make it, you know, non-disruptive to business. I mean, that's just essential. So brief is our prescription. It's 5 to 30 minutes once a month. And we can find all kinds of opportunities for people to do that. successfully within their companies. Believe me, employees are taking a lot more than that. As we speak, 2/3 of the workforce is disengaged, so they're off on Facebook doing whatever they're doing.
Sure.
But it really is a minimal amount of time and investment to do this effectively.
Yeah, any company can find 5 to 30 minutes once a month.
Exactly. Exactly.
No matter the field you're in. I wanted to close with this. You mentioned some companies earlier, some large companies that mm-hmm. you know do fund well, like a Google or a Zappos. But how about some smaller companies that you've worked with that you admire that have fun workplaces? What are they doing?
Yeah, so geez, I'm visiting with a company this Friday who's an all-star, superstar kind of company, Vynamic in Philadelphia. They're the recipient of our winning Workplace Culture Award. They are, a great company in the medical consulting field, but they really built this company based on culture, and they are just thriving, growing super fast. The leader, Dan Calista, totally embraces these concepts, and they obviously have great pay and benefits. I often say, fun cannot make a bad company good or great, but it can be your competitive advantage. If you're already a well-managed company, you treat your employees fairly, then that's the appropriate time. So companies like Vynamic, Synergy Hospitality, a company that was our last recipient of the Winning Workplace Culture. Again, smaller company, local. They run hotels, throughout the region. Great, great culture. So there's really, in the whole population of companies in the world, only 4% are doing this, successfully, really walking the talk.
Yeah.
That number is growing pretty dramatically, and we're seeing not just the Googles and the Zappos, Southwest, those big examples that people know, but there are hundreds and thousands of these smaller companies, and especially startups. Even the VC money, the venture capital money, they're not putting their money into widgets and gadgets, and they don't really care what the product is. They'll put their money in culture.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
Sounds like you're in the right business.
All over the place.
It's going to be good for you guys.
We were weirdos for years. I got to tell you, we were the outcast. But geez, I think now we're kind of more mainstream.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, there you have it. Nick Giannoulis has been our guest. Nick, if people want to reach you guys at the fund department or read your book, how can they do that?
Great. So More Fun at Work. More Fun at Work is our .com is our site. The book is available on Amazon and through our site. Playing It Forward is the title of the book, Playing It Forward. So, and it really is our model, our science. Some people read our book and successfully on their own integrate fun into the workplace, which is awesome. So it's a lot simpler and easier than most people think. A lot of aha moments when they find out what the process is.
Yeah. All right. Listen, some great stuff. Again, our thanks to Nick. And we thank you for listening. This has been the Advantages Experts Podcast. I'm Dave Vagnone. Have a great day.